But what I have to talk about tonight, the topic, the message that I felt like God was imprinting on my heart this week, as I myself have had a very intense week, just personally, there's been a lot of wrestling in my spirit going on, and so preparing to speak tonight was a real struggle for me. And I really needed to take some time out just to be still and spend time with God, because I was trying to prepare for tonight, but because I had so much conflict going on in my own spirit, it was impossible for me to actually hear what God was wanting to speak to me in the midst of that. And I really needed to just stop, pause, and just lay that down before God before I was actually able to pick up what He was potentially wanting to say through me. But tonight I want to talk about the battle for the breakthrough. I think that for a lot of us, we go through these times in life where we are so hungry for God to do something in our lives. We're so thirsty for the more of God, or for a new move in our lives of His Spirit, or even there's a situation that we don't really know what to do in, and we just need God to move in that space, and it feels like a struggle. It just feels like you're wading through soup trying to like find God in the midst of whatever situation you find yourself in. And there's this real battle going on. There's this real struggle going on for the breakthrough that you're seeking. And so this tonight is kind of what I want to talk about. So who here has seen the movie Aladdin? Everyone should have seen the movie Aladdin. And every hand should be up, because it is a classic. And if you haven't seen it, this is a one-time pass for you to leave church right now and go and watch it, because you need to see it. It's fantastic. But Aladdin is this awesome story where we meet this kid named...
Aladdin.
Oh, you guys are great. Who would have thought? Plot twist, guys. So this kid, Aladdin, grew up in this place called Agrabah, and he grows up navigating these streets trying to find food to eat and everything. And in the midst of that, he has these grandiose visions of what it would be like to be in the palace. And he looks out into the distance and he sees this palace, and he's so captivated by the idea of life in this palace. And he's just, if only I could get a taste for that life in the palace. Man, it would be different. Man, it would be great. Servants waiting on me, bringing me delicious food and treats, watching my favorite Netflix shows. Just no cares. Don't have to hunt for my food. It'd be great. And as the story goes on, I'm sure all of you know it, Aladdin finds this lamp. And this lamp contains within it a genie. Ooh. An all-powerful genie. And this genie would grant its master, the possessor of the lamp, any three wishes that the possessor would like. And so Aladdin uses his wishes. The story goes on. Aladdin uses his wishes, and his dreams of this palace life eventually come true. And what we're going to do is there's a few like dramatic touches and challenges along the way that we have very much glossed over there. But the point is that we kind of get to the end, and he's in this palace and everything. But the thing is that we kind of, from the beginning of the story, we kind of have an idea of where it's going to end up, like roughly so. We're like, oh, there's going to be some sort of happy ending in some way, shape, or form. But that's not really what we're interested in. What we're really interested in is that middle section of the struggle. What we're interested in is the challenge or two that are faced along the way. The best stories that I have heard, and I'm sure you guys have heard as well, are the ones in which there is a challenge to overcome. Where a trial is presented, and against all odds, we see a protagonist overcome these and actually step forward into what it is that they were seeking all along. And once we've actually like seen this victory unfold and everything, we don't really see much else that happens after that. Like in the story of Aladdin, he's in the palace and we get to that point, but then like we stop there. Because really the story that we're concerned with is over, because we've kind of seen the struggle and we've enjoyed that kind of story. And really, if he's just living in the palace enjoying life, that doesn't really make for a very interesting story. We kind of know how it goes. You get food, you go to sleep, you get, you know, just goes on. If we're honest, though, those challenges are fantastic in story form. We can watch movie after movie or binge season after season of our favorite drama-filled show, but when it comes to our own lives and the challenges we face, the genie option of everything just working out seems like the one that would far and away be top pick. Am I right? I personally would love for a genie just to solve all my problems. So, who would rather hunt for a meal at the end of the day than be served up a delicious, beautiful steak or lump of tofu, if you're that way inclined, with all of the trimmings? I mean, I'm going to take the steak served up on a plate to me anytime after over like hunting for a meal. Not tofu, not for me. But no harm, no foul if that's what you want. Who would rather work 40 hours a week for the next 25 years of your life or be handed $1 million? Work? Fair enough. Or you could get handed $1 million and then work. Then you'd have $2 million. We love stories of victory and triumph. We love these people in the face of adversary overcoming things and coming to this conclusion and almost this this beautiful strength and character that is built in the midst of that struggle. But as I said, when it comes to our own lives, at times it can be really, really hard to want to face that in any way, shape, or form. And the problem is that in life, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've certainly noticed, is that the genie option isn't really there. There's no magic lamp in a desert somewhere that I can find that's going to solve all of my problems for me. I actually have to walk through, wade through these challenges, these things that I face in life, and actually seek out how to kind of do life in the midst of all of that as well. Now, this news is clearly not hot off the press to us. And if it is, by any chance, if it is, please come and have a chat to someone after the service, because you are in for a world of disappointment if that is your view of things. But despite knowing this, despite kind of experiencing this in life, we can come to God at times as if he was a bottled genie, just wanting to wait on us for our every request. In Aladdin, the genie is slave to the master of the lamp, and he must do what is required of him regardless. And I think that this can be a very attractive proposition to us, especially in relation to God. We want something done, so we come to him, and we ask that he make it so. You can fluff it up with a little Christianese if you like, that your will is aligned with that of God's, or I saw it in a dream, so it must be God. But behind all that is the expectation that our requests will be fulfilled here and now. I had a few different passages that I was kind of going to navigate through tonight and look at, but in the interest of time and not keeping you here till midnight, I've decided to just kind of narrow it down and focus in on one. So what we're going to look at tonight is the story in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, feel free, go for it. I'll give you a second to do that. Or actually, you know what, we'll just pop that up on the slide since I've also got it there. There we go, look at that. Wow, 21st century technology. It's awesome. Sweet. So, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons, geez, that sounds like a lot of work, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place. You want to have a go at pronouncing that? Because I always get it wrong. Peniel. There we go. Awesome. Saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Then the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, Israelites do not eat tendon attached to the socket of the hip. Right. That's fine. We don't need to worry about that. I liken this story to that of a child pestering their parent for something. Be it ice cream, heading over to a friend's house after school, or just five more minutes of watching TV. Who here has ever had the sort of good cop, bad cop experience with their parents? You know the one who always seems to be the good cop and the one who's the bad. Most of us can probably pick out pretty quickly which one's which. For me, it was my mum. Whenever I wanted something, I would always first go to my mum because she would be the most likely to actually say yes. And if all else failed and mum somehow said no to my very reasonable requests, I would sort of amend my request, my statement, and mosey on over to my dad and then try my luck there as well. And inevitably, the response that I was greeted with was, "Have you asked your mother?" And you can try go down this kind of deceit route of like, "Oh, no, I haven't. Like, I don't know what she would think about this matter." And you kind of try this like Mexican standoff with like your parent trying to like see if you can like catch them out or something. And inevitably, I would fail in that. I was kind of like forced to concede on the matter and shrink on off. But the main thing here in this is that although I didn't always get what I wanted or anything, I knew that what my parents wanted for me was good. Now, this may briefly have come into question if my requests were denied, but deep down, I knew that they had my best intentions, my best interests at heart. And sometimes it takes a bit of hindsight to see this. So I want to talk tonight about just a few points that we can pull out from the story that we see of Jacob wrestling with God that actually we can apply to our own lives and we can actually kind of use to help guide us when we get into these places of feeling like there's just no hope for the breakthrough that we're seeking after. The first one that I want to bring up, and you can pop up the slide for this if you want, is that it's not instant. I'm sure most of you here can swim. And it would probably come as second nature to you now. And you may not be any Michael Phelps, but you can probably keep your head above water and make it from one end of the pool to the other without drowning. And if not, then you should probably get some lessons. But at some point, you probably closely resembled a cat when it's trying to, like, when it goes anywhere near a bathtub, where you just kind of scramble around and you just like, No, I'm not happy here. I'm not happy here. I'm out. It took time for you to learn how to swim and get comfortable in the water and move on through. Jacob didn't wrestle with God for a few moments on this matter in particular. He didn't toss up a simple, "Dear Lord, please help me before I go to bed and sleep very wonderfully for tonight." He wrestled with God all night, all through till the morning. And I believe that God is much more concerned with the process and what we learn in persistent petition as he is with the breakthrough itself. The amount that you are willing to invest in a matter shows both how much you care about that matter and how much you believe God will move. It's not instant. The second one I want to talk about is it's not always easy. Now, I don't know how many of you have engaged in a wrestling match before. If you have siblings, it's probably a given that you have wrestled at some point in your life. I can remember numerous occasions battling it out with my sister over issues such as like monumental issues as well, such as who got the front seat in the car, or who had control over the TV remote. Who remembers that battle? Yeah? For those of you who have experienced these sorts of encounters, you will know that wrestling is not an easy task. It is an exhausting exercise, especially when you are after that front seat. You need to be focused and intentional with what you do and when. The objective needs to be clear in your mind, and if your heart isn't in it and you don't really desire that front seat, then you will probably end up sitting in the back. When it comes to wrestling with God, however, it is not as though we are fighting our will against His. It's not like He's after the front seat, but we're after the front seat, and we're trying to like battle with Him in this. And sometimes there are occasions where our will doesn't necessarily line up with what He has intended for us. But in the midst of it, His heart is towards us. He cares deeply for the things that we care about. In fact, I would go as far as to say is that God cares more about the things that you care about than you do. The areas that you are after in breakthrough, the areas that you long to see move in your life, God cares more deeply about those than you ever possibly could care about them. Because He knows us and He loves us and He cares for us so much more than we care for ourselves. The third point I want to bring up is that sometimes it costs. It can cost us. Jacob came away from that encounter with God with a lasting limp. Now, before you all usher me quite violently out of the church for saying that God maims us whenever we come to pray to Him, that is not what I'm trying to say. Or that He's some sort of shrewd businessman who's looking to strike a good deal with us. But as a good father knows to teach his child throughout life, so too does our Heavenly Father know to teach us in the pursuit of breakthrough. This is probably not something that appeals to any of us very much, especially if we have this kind of genie God view going on. But sometimes God is actually seeking something from us in the pursuit of our breakthrough. We may not want to hear it, and we may shy away from it. But in my experience, when I have been willing to give up in order to receive from God, it has never disappointed me or left me feeling like I have been shortchanged. It has always been worth it. The final point that I want to bring up tonight, and this is what I want us to focus on as for the rest of the night and going forth from here, and that is that it's up close and personal. When you wrestle with someone, you can't stand 10 meters away from them, right? When you wrestle, it is like this intimate thing in a weird way. It's this encounter where actually you have to be face to face with the person at times, and you can't actually wrestle with someone unless you are in their presence. You have to be present in the midst of a wrestle. As I said earlier, Jacob's wrestle with God wasn't one of him spouting off a few words to the sky and wondering why God was either withholding from him or not present in his struggle. He got up close and personal with God in the midst of his seeking of breakthrough, in the midst of this encounter. Similar to asking a genie to fulfill our wishes, we can treat our cry for breakthrough like a wish. However, I don't think that is what God is concerned with. I don't think that God is concerned with answering our requests in this manner. And note that I didn't say that God's not concerned with answering our requests and answering our prayers and concerned with our own breakthrough, but it's the way in which you go about that, right? I believe, like I said before, that He cares more about the things that we care about than we do. But what's more, as I think that He is concerned with the way we go about it all, He wants to be up close and personal with us right in the center of our battles, right in the midst of things, when things are at their worst and we can't seem to find a way out, God wants to meet us in that place. He longs to meet us in that place. It's a relational encounter, not a wish fulfillment. Now, in this story that we've read through in Genesis, we see that Jacob actually receives the breakthrough that he was after. The blessing is bestowed upon him, and further than that, he goes on to actually he is the beginning of Israel at that point. That's a pretty huge gift from God there. But what happens when that's not the case? What happens when we go through this wrestling process with God and we feel like he's there present with us in the midst of it, and we do everything we know in our power, everything we know that's right as a Christian to do in the midst of that, and still the breakthrough doesn't come? Because we could just leave it there and go, oh yeah, no, God gives breakthrough if you just succeed. Yeah. But we all know that that's not the case all the time. We're going through this series in our vital group at the moment about prayer. And one of the things that really struck me in this week that's just been through is this statement here, that it is faith to wrestle with unanswered prayer. It is faith to wrestle with unanswered prayer. We can view wrestling with God over things that potentially haven't happened as a crisis of faith. But I don't believe that that is correct. If we wrestle with God when we have cried out in his name, trusting in his power to prevail, and we don't see things shift, if we do choose to wrestle with God in that place, it shows that we really did expect him to move or to intervene in some way. However, if we just shrug it off and go, oh, well, maybe next time, did we really believe in the first place that he would move? The struggle we face in trusting God completely, though, and in this idea of going and crying out to God when we don't see breakthrough happen, the struggle that we face and that the difficulty that we can face is that of disappointment. We can come out the other side of it having believed wholeheartedly, believed with every fiber of our being that God would do something, and we come out the other side and we're disappointed because we didn't see him move. When we cry out for a loved one to be healed and they pass away. Or there's a friend that we've been petitioning for and we just long to see them come into the kingdom of God and to know him closer than we do ourselves. And they seem to be doing anything but that and moving further away from God. We don't know the outcome of the battle for our breakthrough. We don't know. We don't know ultimately what is going to happen when we cry out to God for breakthrough, whether or not we're going to see breakthrough happen or whether we're not. But does that mean that we simply give up? Obviously, no. We don't give up. Just to clarify. We don't know why we see God move in some instances, but not others. What we do with the hurt of not seeing him move, though, is what really defines us. What we do with the hurt of not seeing him move is what defines us. If we can learn to bring that before God, not to know why, but to simply allow him to minister to us in that place of disappointment and hurt, we can be sure that he will meet us there and comfort us in that place. He isn't waiting to laugh at us or tell us to suck it up and have more faith. He is a loving father who embraces us and holds us close in the midst of the struggles that we face, in the midst of the breakthrough that we're seeking when it doesn't come in the way that we expected. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Hope does not put us to shame. I think that's so important to remember in all of this, is that the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope that we have in that cross right there, not that physical one, but the hope that we have in that cross is not going to put us to shame. It's not going to end in us being upset on the floor in a puddle of mess left there for the rest of our lives. We may choose to be there for a period of time, but God is calling us up out of that. He's calling us to resurrect from that place of disappointment into new life, into this place of crying out to him a song of victory that we may not have seen the breakthrough that we were after, but there is more in store for us than we could ever hope for or imagine. It is this hope that we hold beyond the breakthroughs that we're seeking in the physical here, that hope that we have of the eternal, that hope that is everlasting, that we cling to in the midst of these things. In this example that we see, and many, many, many more throughout scriptures, we see that this person, Jacob, met with God face to face. They brought their request to him and spoke with him. He wrestled with him, believing to receive an answer for his request. It was an encounter, personal, raw, real, with a father who desperately loved him and who desperately loves you. It's so often said that the Psalms are full of raw, real moments with God, and it's so true. And I can't really think of anyone else who did raw and real with God more than David did, or at least that is recorded. He poured his heart, his pain, his frustration, his joy, and his celebration. He poured it all out at God's feet. He wrestled and battled and held nothing back, because when you worship an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, and ever-present God, what is the point in holding anything back? He knows it all already. And perhaps this evening, or perhaps this night in particular, you have some areas in your life that you are just battling and crying out for breakthrough in. It can be so easy to become disheartened when we don't see things happen in a way or a time frame that we're expecting. One thing that I have learned is, in the midst of those dark nights, those times when everything kind of seems to be falling apart, when we're not seeing something happen that we're desperately seeking after, is that God, one, is there with me and cares deeply about it, and two, that he's concerned a lot more with the what than the why. We want to understand, to comprehend the why associated with the situation. Why didn't God heal this person? Why didn't God move in this way? Why didn't God bring along that perfect person for me to do life with? Why didn't God do this or that or whatever? We want to know, we want to understand, we want to rationalize, why would God do this? We want to figure it out. But God's concerned with what's being produced in you in the midst of that situation. Not to give you some way to justify the pain or disappointment. It's not up here. It's not a what to help you rationalize everything. But instead, it's to give you hope in the midst of it all, that what the enemy has intended for evil, God will turn around and use for good. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And tonight, I want to encourage you to bring any pain or confusion before him. In whatever way fits for you, in whatever way you feel led to do, I invite you to bring that before him tonight. Not to have it all sorted by the time you leave those doors, but instead to agree to journey through that battle with a father who cares deeply about you and your breakthrough. To journey, to begin to journey with him. As I was preparing this message and as I was going through all of this, it was really hard for me to just kind of end it there and that's kind of where I was at, and I was like, no, God, that's not quite right. There has to be something else that you were speaking into this in the midst of it all. And he brought me to Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I'm going to invite the team to come back up now. And what we're going to do is we're going to join together in worship. And then however you feel led, if there's an area of breakthrough that you're petitioning for at the moment that you're really struggling with, maybe you're totally fine. But what I want us to do first is together to come and worship of our King. The beautiful thing about worship is that the whole point of worship is that it takes our mind from earthly things and fixes it on things above. That is worship, is that it takes us from this place of looking at these situations in front of us that seem helpless or these situations that we just don't know what to do with, and it shifts our gaze and it looks up at our Heavenly Father. And it says, in the midst of the storm, I will worship him. It says, he is bigger than this thing that's going on. And it may be a struggle for you to do that, and that's okay. That is okay. God can handle that. But I want to remind you once more of David, that in the midst of things, he was raw and real with God. There is no point in us trying to hide what is really going on in our hearts from God, because he sees it all anyway. He knows the deep, deep cry of our heart. And so for us to try and convince him that that's not what's going on inside of us, it's a frivolous effort. So as we join together in worship now, fixing our eyes not on earthly things, but on things above, my prayer for you is that your perspective on things would be shifted to a heavenly one, that you would have eyes from heaven to see the situation that you are contesting for in a new light. Let's pray. Father, you know all things. You know the depths of our hearts. You know those deep things that we are crying out for, that we are longing for in the depths of our spirit. And ultimately, you are the only one who satisfies us, but there are other areas in our lives that we confess are of so much importance to us, and we know that they are of so much importance to you as well. Father, you promised that you came to give us a full and satisfying life, not to tear us down or to leave us in dismay. And so as we join together in worship now, as we respond to you on these things that are deep on our heart, that are impressed on our heart, would you gently embrace us in that? And would we learn how to wrestle with you in the midst of that? That we would see your victory, that we would see your glory shown through in the situations that are going on in our own.